Thank you for subscribing to InvestTalk. We'll begin in just a moment. KPP Financial Senior Vice President Justin Klein explains why a registered investment advisor firm wants to talk about real estate.
Your home is an important piece of your total financial picture. You need to make sure that when you do retire, you have a plan to maybe relocate, downsize if need be.
Contact Justin directly with a note on investtalk.com. Just select Contact Justin or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now, InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition, February 4th of InvestTalk. We're here to be at your side for this hour, this whole hour, as we wrestle with the important money decisions we all have to make. We try to answer your specific questions, and we offer some encouragement to those who are making the effort, willing to spend a little time to do it, to invest their money, to manage their money. And we're on, you know, I like to know how confident you are in the market. I mean, the market's pretty shaky, right? It's had a pretty shaky start for the new year, and it didn't do very well last year. So I'm sure everybody is kind of, yeah, I'm just wondering how confident in your abilities to manage your money and grow it. Because it's hard. I mean, I wish it was simple. It's not simple. And in this kind of market, it's very difficult. Now, you know, in our stock account, we did very well for January. We're actually up and not down. And our income and mutual funds were down a little bit. But are you confident about what you're doing? How badly did you get beat up? And can you handle it? Is it freaking you out? Are you getting upset? Now, in my market commentary this morning, I took a look at the fourth quarter earnings for 2015. Remember, we've had all month long, last month and into this month, earnings. And we're, what, two-thirds through? So we're down, earnings for corporations are down 5.5% to 6% quarter over quarter for the fourth quarter last year. And that's what's being reported now. 5.5% to 6% down. That makes three quarters in a row of declines in earnings. And of course, the stock market reacts to that. It's reacted to it most of last year knowing that that's going to happen or having a pretty good idea. And now the facts are there. So what do you do? Now, Keith McCullough, CEO of HedgEye, says that back-to-back quarters of declining earnings have always resulted in declines in the stock market of 20% of the S&P 500. 20%, back-to-back. Now, we've had three quarters in a row. Now, he says just back-to-back, you're going to get a 20% correction. And he has data to back it up. However, as in all data, there is some suspicion here. I was looking at what he was saying. He had data to back it up. He had charts and things. But what was immediately apparent to me is, when do you get that 20% fall? After the second quarter fall, shrinkage of earnings. Now remember, we had three quarters in a row. So when does it fall 20%? Hasn't done it yet. What if it's a year afterwards? What happens in between? See, you've got to be really careful with all statistics. And, you know, the only real conclusion that you really can make in an earnings recession is kind of what we're in. We're in an earnings recession where it's falling quarter after quarter, as opposed to an economic recession. That earnings recession is not good for stock prices. Weakness in the overall market is likely until something changes. That you can say with all confidence. A 20% correction markets, it's fairly normal. It's not abnormal. We just haven't seen one. The last one was a 19% correction in July of 2011. Before that, you had to go into the Great Recession, 2008, and early 2009. So you can see how far back that is. We haven't had a normal 20%, 10% corrections. We've had a few of those, but not a 20%, which is, you know, comes around every year or two normally. So what I'm saying is expect a 20% correction. You should expect it. And when you get it, that's going to be an opportunity. Think of it as an opportunity. Don't freak out about it happening. bail out at the very bottom. Don't be one of the herd. You know, take a step back. You should already have reacted to that possibility. Now, this is a discussion we're going to have in more detail, by the way, on our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference in San Jose on the 20th. Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. And this is a very timely conference. You know, I think it's very, very good. And we're going to have a good turnout, I can assure you, because we've had a pretty good pre-sign-up so far. So I urge you to sign up soon. If you can make time on that Saturday morning, Justin and I think it will be well worth your effort. We do. If you're wondering about these conferences and have a question, give me a call now. I'll fill you in. Or, you know, if you have any other question on any money matter, give me a call. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. We're first going to go to Jim in Indiana. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Steve?
Good, good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I'm calling you today because I have a horse farm, and periodically we'll sell a horse for a decent amount of money, and I'll need to put that money somewhere, mm-hmm. but I need it to be fairly liquid because we might turn around and buy another horse.
Okay.
Excuse me, within 6 months, 5 months, 6 months, 8 months, whatever. It's typically less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure that, A, that my money is doing more than just sitting in the bank, unless that's right. The right thing to do. But at the same time, having it fairly liquid, so there's that perfect horse comes up for sale that I think that I can make a few bucks by owning for a little while that I can buy it.
Right, right. So you're thinking, where can I park that money for that period of time and at least make something on it?
Exactly.
Okay, well, I would not park it in the stock market. Stock market, especially any time this year, any time within the first 6 months of this year, I wouldn't park it there because it's just too volatile. So you want something a little bit more stable. And I would probably, you want it to be liquid too. So therefore, you can't tie it up in an instrument that, you know, you have to wait to get your return. I'm going to say, Jim, there's probably no good instrument in the stock market that you should be investing in if you need the money within 6 months to a year. I think the market is just too volatile right now, just too volatile. And you might lose, you know, you might have to pull it out just at the wrong time, you know. So I would stay away from I'd stay away from the market, Jim. I really would.
Okay. Do you have any other investment avenues that might work better?
Well, you know, of course you could do, you know, money market only playing, an eighth of a percent maybe. So that's not very good. So then where else could you go? You can go to a short-term bond fund, which you could get out really quick, an ETF of a short-term bond fund. And bonds have been beaten up so much that I think that they're probably, I'll just stay away from the junk bonds. If I were you, I would go into a short-term U.S. Treasury bond fund because I think you can get you might get 0.5% or 0.75% of return, but you probably won't lose any of your principal.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And you'd be very liquid. You get out in the next day, one day, yeah, if you need to. Thanks, Jim.
Right.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, the market's just so volatile. There's not a lot of places you can go. The Federal Reserve has pushed interest rates down so low, it's ensured that you can't really make much money in a very liquid and safe manner. You just can't. How can I figure the cost involved in selling my house? Should I try it myself or should I have an agent? You know, maybe you can sell your house without an agent. Might be very difficult, not wise. Justin Klein, Justin Klein, you know, here at KPP Financial, is a licensed realtor, and we have a team across the country that do that, to sell properties and help you buy one if that's the case. You can contact him directly by clicking on Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com. 888-99-CHART. Should you keep an open mind about closed-in funds? Closed-in funds. What's the difference between closed-in and open-in? Well, I explained it several times. I'll explain it again. But what are the pros and cons of closed-in funds? We'll go over that today. I want to talk about the jobs report that's going to come out tomorrow. and what the expectation is. What if they don't meet the expectation? Why is the expectation so much lower than last month? I also want to talk about financials. I've been getting a lot of calls, people wanting to buy into the banking industry. We want to discuss that. And something we've been trying to get to for a few days, I want to talk about the forecast for the S&P 500 this year. How bad or good is it? Now, you know we've already fallen, what, 8% or so? It fell almost 10, then it got back a couple percentage points here in the last week or two. But what's the projections? What do the experts think? And remember what I think about experts. Does anybody know what the Super Bowl indicator is? I'm going to write about that tomorrow. Super Bowl indicator. The National Football League play in the AFL. Which team wins and what the predictor of the stock market for that year. Pretty interesting. Talk about that tomorrow. What happened in the market today? The Dow was up 80. The NASDAQ was up 5. And the S&P was up 3. Not anything to write home about. The market is trying to eke out a bounce. Not gains, just a bounce from the low that the market made. What day was the low? The low was made on January 20th. It's trying to bounce from that. And it's not looking very good so far. It's bouncing. It had a big up day. What, it was on Monday or was that Tuesday? And then gave most of that back on the very next day, and this has been kind of sideways. So it's trying to consolidate here over the last 4 days or so. And usually, will it break up? I think it might. But I don't have a lot of hope for it to get very strong before showing some more weakness. So just be very, very careful in here. We're here for you. Beginner or experienced investors are always welcome. 888-99-CHART. If you're a podcast listener and can't reach us during our live program, you can still call. 4 to 5 Pacific time is when we're live.
This is Henry from Mountain View, and I got a question about a company called ResMed. R as in Richard, M as in Michael, D as in David. And my question is, I'm looking for an entry point, and it's a long-term hold for 5 years plus. Thank you.
ResMed, okay. ResMed develops medical equipment to diagnose, treat, and manage sleep disorders, breathing, including disruptive sleep apnea. Okay, so that's what they do. They have pretty darn good earnings, and it's been pretty consistent over the years. They made $2.57 in 2015. They're going to make $2.68 this year. And next year, we have an estimate of $3.01. And sales growth has been in the single digits, but it's been consistent, 7, 8, 9%, for the last couple of years. Pretty steady company. And because of that, it has a pretty high PE, 22. Now, if it's a $57.82 stock, it's going to make $3. So that PE will drop if the price stays where it is. I will say this. It looks like it put in a bottom in October. We tested that bottom here in January. But I think it's going to have a heck of a time breaking up further. I think you want to see, this would be a buy point because it's above its 200-day moving average. It's just hitting a lot of resistance right here. This would be a buy point. But I might buy only half my position and see how it goes. If you're a long-term holder, you would like to get a better price for it if you could. Pays 2.5% dividend, 2.1% dividend. Our sixth Saturday morning wealth conference is titled Survival and Opportunities in a Volatile Market. And it's set for Saturday, 9 to noon, February 20th in San Jose. Go to investtalk.com, sign up. 888-99-CHART, that's our number. You can reach us through that number and give us a call. Ask any question you want financial. Love to talk to you. I'm Steve Peasley. You're listening to Invest Talk. Should a closed-end fund have a place in your portfolio? Should closed-end funds have a place in your portfolio. This is our main talking point today, and there's an article on invest.com if you want to read the whole thing. First, what are closed-end funds? Everybody's familiar with ETFs these days, exchange-traded funds. They kind of know what they are. And a closed-end fund, sometimes it's called ETN, they, as opposed to an ETF, an open-end fund, has a finite number of shares to trade. They only issue, and a closed-end fund only issues so many shares. And the closed-end fund could do anything that an open-end fund can do. They will describe what they are. They could be a fund of mid-cap stocks. They could be a fund of oil companies. They could be a fund of bonds. It can be anything like that, just like an ETF, except there's a finite number of shares. Now, what is the advantage or disadvantage? Well, the advantage is a closed-end fund could sell at a discount to the actual value of the net asset value of the assets it holds because someone doesn't like it. For instance, you know, maybe biotech. No one likes biotech. So the fund could be beaten down further than the actual prices of the biotech companies in the folder. So that's called selling at a discount to the net asset value. So when eventually it turns around and goes back to at least the value of the assets, you have already an automatic return. Even if they liquidated the fund, you're going to make money if you bought it at a discount. So it can also sell at a premium for more than a net asset value. So that could be both a benefit and a detriment, depending on what it is. So you really, one of the first things you have to know, in a closed-end fund, is it selling at a premium or a discount to the net asset value of the holdings? Another negative about closed-end funds, they're not nearly, some of them are not very liquid. It's like a stock. Remember, it's a finite number of shares. So if there's only a few shares traded, there's not volumes not there, you may be very difficult to get out or get in. By the way, that can also happen in open-end funds. Remember a few weeks ago, a month ago, an open-end ETF stopped. Actually, it was a mutual fund, but same principle. Stopped redemptions because there was too many redemptions too fast, and they stopped them for a number of days, just because of the too many redemptions. Meanwhile, remember, you can't get your money out. They stopped. You couldn't sell it, therefore, and values were still going down. So you got to be really understanding how these things work. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Our first priority is always answering questions. So let's pick a call that came in before today's program. It's on our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Steve. My name is Bill. I'm calling from Brick, New Jersey. I had a couple of questions. I'd like to know if there's any statistics on dividends and how many people and the percentage of dividends that are reinvested. Also, I heard a response from Bill, an older gentleman, and how he was continuing to reinvest his required minimum distributions into a Roth for his daughter. He was 82 years old. That means he still has to have income. Is that correct? Love the show. I'm a podcast listener and like to hear your answers. Thank you.
Well, we'll answer the last question first. That 82-year-old, he didn't need the money from his IRA. So he would take the required minimum distribution because the government wants you to pay taxes on that, and he'd put it in his Roth. Because he wasn't ever going to need the money. That's the key there. He didn't need it. And he wanted it to grow. Even though he was 82, he wanted it to grow while he was still alive because he's going to let his daughter inherit it. Okay, and then she would have an inherited Roth IRA. And she wouldn't have, the thing that he was missing that maybe we should have made clear is that whenever someone inherits anything, they get the stepped-up value of it, so they don't have to pay taxes, capital gains taxes, from the day the person dies and then someone inherits it. That's the day of the value of the portfolio. That's the inheritor's cost basis. But he wanted to grow tax-free the whole time. So hopefully he'll live to be 100, 105, and then do well. The second part of your question. There is no statistics about how many people are reinvesting their dividends into the stock that the dividend paid. I have never seen anything like that in everything I've ever done, because it's not something that anybody, you know, any money manager needs to know. It's not something that is worth them knowing. It's not, doesn't help them analyze anything. So that's why I've never seen it. I don't think it's out there anywhere. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? You know, we talked about earlier in the week, I mentioned some of the worst sectors and some of the better sectors since the year to date. And one of the worst sectors is the financial sector, down about 11-12%. But the financial sector is full of different financial stocks. I'm getting a lot of calls, people think it's a time to go in and buy some bank stocks or whatever in the financial sector. Well, banks in the financial sector are actually down 16% year to date. And the best financial sector is real estate, down 5.1%. Insurance is down 9.1%. And diversified financials down 12.3%. Those are the four sectors that make up the financials, quote unquote, sector of the S&P 500. So those four branches of the financial sector, you know, act a little bit differently. I mean, there's a big difference between banks that lost 16% and real estate 5%, or insurance 9%. Big difference there. Remember, there's all losses, though, all of it. And just so you know, usually when the financial sector is doing poorly, the stock market's doing poorly. When it's doing well, the stock market goes with it. So you can watch kind of the financial sector to see what's going on for the overall market, because it's a pretty good precursor for that. Also, junk bonds and regular bonds, those are pretty good indicators of where the stock market's going to go. And all last year, we warned you on this radio show and in many writings that I did, that the bonds, junk bonds, and are doing poorly. And why? And we went through that, you know, with the shale oil and the collapse of oil. But it's something that you got to keep an eye on. And it's just one indicator. You always need to look at a lot of indicators. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up next half hour, would you like to work in the financial industry? The finance industry? 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. You can call us right now.
Let's get back to question and answer time, 888-99-CHART. Here's Steve Peasley with more Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Mark in San Jose. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, it's Lars. But, Steve, my question is, you always seem to be very quick to go back and see historic numbers like earnings and so forth, much longer than my tool provides. So I'm just wondering what tool you use to get those statistic numbers.
Well, I have a lot of data. I have a lot of data at my fingertips. I'm looking at three screens, five pieces of software that I buy. Okay, so you can get this from IBIS and S&P and Morningstar, all the historical data that I usually get from those three pieces of software that they have, you know, the data that they provide. And, of course, I also make a study of history in the stock market, because I do think that history tends to repeat. And so I'd like to know what has happened in the past. And so I do a lot of reading, and I have the data in front of me, and, you know, I kind of study it. So there's also an almanac out there that's easy for to get that people that has lots of this kind of information called the Investor's Almanac. Almanac comes out once a year. And it's a day-by-day, every day you flip a page like a calendar, and it gives you all the statistics. You know, there's so much statistics, and it's kind of interesting, kind of fun to look at. But that's where you get that information, Mark.
Okay, so the cheapest tool to use, like I use TD Ameritrade, this is Think and Swim platform, if you know that one.
Yes,
it's a nice platform, but... but it doesn't give you that much history on the like earnings and other factors.
Yeah, you got to pay, and I hate to say it, Mark, it costs a lot of money. You know, we're talking $2,000-$3,000 a month to get that downloaded data all the time and at your fingertips. So it's not cheap. So most people don't. Appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you very much. 888-99-CHART. Okay, Swiss. The Credit Suisse, the banking, the financial house, ratcheted down their call for the S&P 500. They think it's going to go to 2050 for the year. Do you know what it is today? 1915, right now. So 2050, by the way, is what it started at the beginning of the year. And that's their projections for the full year. So... what are they saying? Market's not going to do anything. It's going to be flat for the year. And why do they say that? Well, they have several reasons. One is earnings. They're talking about earnings growth. It's going to be flat for the year. Now, mind you, earnings have been going down quarter. But they think earnings growth is going to be flat. So they're thinking earnings are actually going to turn around, don't they? They think it's going to be flat. Turn around means it's no longer falling because they're falling now. So they think it's going to be flat. They think that the macro picture has become more complicated, you know, from China, the Federal Reserve. So it's hard to predict. And I want to say this is in conjunction with other houses that have been ratcheting down their returns. Almost all of them have it higher than Credit Suisse. But try to remember, these companies are always wrong. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be worse. They could be wrong because it's better. Last year, at the beginning of last year, most of them were saying that a market was going to return 10% or so. Return. Well, the market didn't. It fell. Didn't fall a lot, but it fell, and it was weak all year long, and depending on what sector you're in. So they could be too pessimistic, or they could be too optimistic. But I always like to know what these quote-unquote experts are thinking, because you want to get all input from all different sources and come up with your own ideas. My own idea, really? I don't think it's going to be that bad a year by the end of the year. I think it's going to be really volatile during the year. But by the end of the year, unless we go into recession, I think it's going to be up for the year. Now, I don't think it's going to be up anything significant. I don't. Because I also believe that the earnings have to turn around. And I think that's going to be difficult this year. China and the EU have to help. They have to turn around their economies. And I think China is looking to more shrinkage this year. They think about 6.5% growth from their 6.9% last year. So that's still shrinkage. Now the shrinkage is slowing down. And actually the real number is probably less than that. The EU, they can't seem to get started, and the EU is full of economies that are very tightly controlled by the government, and because of that, they've always had high unemployment, even when we are fully employed, and their economy is very slow to respond. It's much slower than ours. Slow to respond to any stimulus. Slow to respond to a better times, because the consumer doesn't dominate their economies. The government with restrictions has a lot to say what goes on there. And that's very, very difficult for them to turn around. Anyway, time for InvestTalk Personal, about the day-to-day personal financial choices that impact all our lives. Working in the finance industry, I get a lot of calls, a lot of questions from young people. How do I break in? This is a very difficult industry to break into. So, of course, the absolute minimum, you're going to have some kind of financial degree, and a higher degree than a bachelor's of science is probably preferable. Jobs in the finance industry are very lucrative, many of them. So those qualifications are tough. They only want the best. And a lot of big companies, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, and the financial, they draft out of colleges, and they burn through those college graduates. When I say burn through, they put them on desks. They give them lists to make phone calls, 100, 150, 200 calls a day. And that's, they see how productive these young people can be. And they burn out. They leave. The ones are left, if they do well, they'll eventually promote them to do something else. Very common. Now, there are resources to help you find work in the industry, like many industries. Competition is tough, but you know, there are some tools and resources to help you with your search. Many industry professionals enter the field right out of college, as I said. But it takes diligent pursuit. For instance, how did I get into this? I volunteered to work for free. I just wanted to get into it. I've worked for free. I didn't want any money. And that's how I broke in. I mean, it's a fairly long story, but that's actually how I got in, because I wanted to learn. So it's just difficult, everybody. If you want to get more information, I can provide you some tools and some place, but you can go to VesaVita.com. They have published some articles about this. That might be a good place to start. And if you want to ask me questions, just go to contact Steve on InvestTalk.com, and I'll give you all the information I can. That's InvestTalk Personal, everybody. We call them portfolio checkups because they really are an opportunity to kind of check up the vital signs of your retirement plan. Looking at my calendar coming up, I have them scheduled for a limited number of listeners in the office of Dana Point in Southern Orange County, February 10th. I have Skype calls scheduled for February 17th, and then I'll be at the San Jose Satellite Office in February 24th. Remember, we have our conference on the 20th, so after that, I'll be coming back to meet with people. It's easy to put yourself on the calendar. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting.
We're glad you're with us on Invest Talk today. And whether you're 20-something or something just past retirement, we're here to help you make better investing and money decisions along the way. But we need to know what you need to know. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Stephen, Dustin. This is Chris from Global. I had a general question about kind of market leaders. You know, there's a handful of stocks that I follow that are at or near their all-time highs. Like Constellation Brands, for example, ticker symbol STZ, and just want to get your opinion on, you know, buying strength like that in such a volatile market. You know, they're staying above their weekly 10-day SMA, and just wanted to see what your all's opinion on market leaders and holding up in such a volatile market. Thanks, guys.
SMA is simple moving average, everybody. He's saying it's above its 10-day simple moving average. It is Constellation Brands, STZ. Produces and distributes branded wine, spirits in the U.S., Canada, New Zealand, and Italy. And it has done very, very well ever since. You know, it didn't even notice the August fall. It did have it, but it barely a blip on the chart. It just continued to rise. So it's very strong. Why is it very strong? Well, as you know, I keep repeating it. Earnings are consistently growing. It made $4.44 in 2015. They're going to make $5.37 this year. They're going to make $6.10 next year per share. And sales growth is 6 to 10% quarter after quarter after quarter. Whenever you see a stock that's very consistent, like this, you're going to see it pay, you're going to have to pay up for it to buy. PE 29. Pretty high. The five-year average PE is 8 to 30. I would not buy it here, even though the chart looks very, very healthy. I would not buy it because at some point, it's going to come back down to earth, And that's the point right after you buy it. Have you ever noticed that? So it's a very strong company, very good company, but I think it's gotten ahead of itself, and I think it's going to have a nice pullback. You buy it on the pullback. A good entry point, remember it's about selling for right now $146. I think about $130 would be a good entry point for Constellation Brands. One thing. Why was this stock working so good even this month when everything else was falling apart? Because it's not a cyclical stock. It's not attached to the economic cycle. People buy branded wines and spirits all the time. They don't. You know, if the economy slows down, yeah, their earnings will slow, but it won't collapse. You can see it in 2008, 2009. Earnings slowed down, but didn't collapse the stock. So that's why, you know, you look for these kind of companies because they're anti-cyclical. They're non-cyclical. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Tomorrow we're going to have the official jobs report for January. ADP reported the unofficial jobs report. Remember, ADP always reports a couple of days before, and it's a private company reporting on private sector jobs. And they said that it's going to be pretty good. You know, they're going to 190,000 jobs. Now, just to remind you, the official report last month was 292,000. And the expectation for tomorrow's report is 180,000 jobs. So kind of in line with ADP, a little bit less than what ADP said. And why the official jobs is different, how it's different, is it includes government jobs. ADP only private sector jobs. So the official report is private sector jobs and government jobs. So what happens if it comes in right around 180,000 new jobs? Well, wouldn't you think that that's bad because the month before was 292? And the answer would be no. No, because number one, everybody is expecting about 180,000 jobs. When everybody expects something, that information is already built into the market. The problem is if that job report comes in about 100, 120, then the market may react negative to it because it's going to see that the jobs market is getting weaker than they expected. And that maybe the next number for the next month will be zero. Maybe the month after that, jobs will lose 150,000 jobs. See, the market's trying to always anticipate what's going to happen in the future. Always. And, of course, the future is unknowable. But it doesn't stop it from reacting to it. So if we get 180,000 jobs tomorrow, the market will go ho-hum. It'll do whatever it wants to do, but it won't be impacted by the jobs report. If we get a big number, 200, 250, we get a big number, the market is probably going to rally really strong. Have you noticed the market reaction all of January was based on what oil prices did? And it looks like we're now getting, it's not as closely tied because we've had some pretty strong oil prices here in the last few days, but the stock market is up, but not up very strong. So it looks like the tie might be breaking a little bit. Have you noticed gold prices? And gold, the gold mining companies, all of January and even recent few days, it's been very strong. January fairly strong, but recent few days very strong. And why? Have you been watching the dollar strength? Dollar has been falling sharply for 3 days in a row. Therefore, oil is traded in dollars, oil prices go up. Gold in dollars, gold prices go up because the dollar is falling. Fine, you gotta understand how these relationships work, and then that will help you decide what investments you should be in. It does. Our Invest Talk anytime number is 888-99-CHART. The program is called Invest Talk, and we count on you to do some of the talking. I want to hear from your questions. Any money question, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What do you want to talk about? Did you see the other economic statistics out this week? Maybe we should talk about that. Chart. We're going to talk to John in El Cerrito. How are you doing, John?
Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. I'd like to ask you if you think it's a good time to possibly buy shares of Freeport-McMoRan, FCX.
I do think it's bottomed. I'll say that. I like the precious metal areas better. And, you know, everybody thinks of Freeport-McMoRan as a precious metal miner, but they have a big component in copper, a big component in other metals besides silver and gold. So if uh-huh. you take a look at the gold miners, there's a number of them. If you'll see how uh-huh. much they have moved up much faster than Freeport-McMoRan has moved up. But you're asking me, do I think it's a good time? Do I think it's bottomed? And I'm going to say, I think so. I think it has bottomed. So that means,
okay.
yeah, if you're a long-term holder, this is where you'd want to buy it. It's breaking up, you know, but slowly.
With the precious metals companies like Goldcorp and Silver Wheaton, for instance, I'm wondering if this is just sort of a dead cat bounce because of the dollar going down in values. It's just a temporary thing.
Well, I think you're right. There could be, it could pull back, you know, after this mm-hmm. pretty good move. And then it goes to, well, do you think the dollar is going to weaken against other currencies or strengthen? And I don't think the dollar is going to collapse, but I don't think it's going to get stronger either because our economic numbers are not telling us that they should. So,
okay.
yeah, I think gold was way oversold, gold and silver, and it's bouncing up because of that. And I would not be surprised if it gives back some of its gains. It wouldn't surprise me at all. So,
okay.
But you could wait till it does that. But I'm not a big gold person myself, but I think there's opportunity there.
Right.
Okay?
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, John. What's a dead cat bounce, everybody? John mentioned a dead cat bounce. Dead cat, it's a saying in our industry where the market, where something collapses, and because it collapses and everybody over panics, it collapses so far, and then it bounces just because of so much negativism. That bounce is only because it was too much negativism, not because there's any strength coming into the stock or the sector or the earnings turned around, nothing like that. Still, everything is bad. It just bounced because of it being oversold. Dead cat bounce is not going to really change direction. You know, it's not really going to rally from there. It's just going to bounce. 888-99-CHART. We got to look at some other statistics. We have some quarterly statistics out today that are kind of important. For instance, we had the most important one for me, and I think it is most important, is productivity for the fourth quarter, productivity numbers. Now, in the third quarter, productivity grew at 2.1%. Productivity goes to how much a person working produces, widgets, whatever it is, how much his work produces. If productivity goes up, that is very good. The company makes more money. Employees get more salary. Everybody's happy. If productivity falls, the company loses money or has to pay more money to make the same amount of widgets because it has to hire more people. And productivity for the fourth quarter fell 3%. 3% after being up 2.1% the third quarter. And at the same time, unit labor costs went up 4.5%. So the employers paid more for their employees and got less productivity out of it. Now, who's to blame? I don't think you can blame the employees. They might have some of the blame. But it might be because corporations haven't been reinvesting their profits into their own company, getting more and more efficient equipment and operations. It could be employees are not trained for the newer jobs. They have old skills and need to be retrained into the newer faster, quicker, you know, industries. So it could be both. No, we don't really know why. There's no knowing. Our time is up. A reminder that you have a question you'd like to ask me, well, you can send me a note. Send me a note at investtalk.com. Click on Contact Steve. That's an email that comes directly to me. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. We manage money for individuals. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening. I hope you'll be with us tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.